Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, everybody, and this is Brian Basilico. We are blog talking about BLT, Business Life Transitions. That's what this show is about. And unfortunately, Jan again is going to not be with us. She is on sick leave. We're all wishing her the best and that she gets well soon. Anyways, today we're going to have an awesome guest. Her name is Heidi Thorne, and I wanted to talk a little bit up front about coaching. Now, one of my philosophies is, every doctor needs a doctor, every mentor needs a mentor, and every coach needs a coach. And the reason I say that is because I actually experienced that. I had not used a coach ever until about, say a year or so ago. And my coach was Felicia Slattery. She's an awesome person, awesome coach, and she helped me with my book, and also she's a speaking coach, so she really helped me get more speaking gigs, and because of her influence, what I was able to do was be at a conference on a expert panel this weekend. It's called the Impact Event out in Philadelphia, and it was filled with people who are coaches in various different ways. There's sales coaches, there's marketing coaches, there's all different kinds of things. And in the coaching business, I mean, there's all kinds of different kind of coaches, and some of them have, you know, in the coaching industry, you know, there's a bad rap because there's a lot of people who call themselves coaches. They're life coaches, and they're trying to help you. And some are really well trained and understand this, and other people just dive in and call themselves a coach. So what makes a good coach? Well, first and foremost, you want to find somebody who's been there and done that. If they haven't experienced the things that they're teaching you how to do, then there's probably a big possibility that they may not be able to teach you. You know, would you want a life coach whose life is completely upside down? You know, you have to think about that. So, but on the other side of the spectrum is there are people who have very targeted knowledge that can help you get from A to B faster. And the reason I bring that up again is because due to Felicia and her contacts, I not only got to go to conferences, but I got to speak at conferences. I've met and hung with some of the heaviest hitters in the internet marketing space, Joel Kahn, Brian G. Johnson, Mitch Axelrod, Stephen Memel. I mean, some really, really big people in the industry. And, you know, not only do I get to do my thing, which is very specific. I mean, my business is about helping people learn how to market their businesses online. That's it. And that's what I do. I do it for myself first, and then my coaching clients are the ones who I actually help them promote themselves in a very targeted way to get more business by using Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google, all of those kind of things. And so if you have a specific thing that you're looking to do, and today Heidi's going to be talking with us shortly, and she talks about writing books. Well, if you look at somebody like Heidi, she's written 7 books, which means she's been through a whole bunch of, you know, trial and error on herself. So she knows the ins and outs of this stuff. And that's what you want to look for if you're looking for somebody to help you. If you're looking to find a job, there are coaches out there that will coach you through the process of how to, you know, professionally set you up, how to use LinkedIn, how to write a resume. I mean, they're there specifically to help you figure out what it is you need. If you're running a business, then what you need to do is look for somebody who specifically does what you need. And they will get you there faster if you find the right coach. And that's pretty much what it's about. And the way I look at coaching is coaching should never be an expense. It's always an investment. And I can say honestly that the money I invested in my coach definitely paid back, probably about 4 or 5 times what I paid into the coaching. So that's one of the kind of the key factors that I want you to think about. But let's bring in our guest, Heidi Thorne. And Heidi, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, Brian, and I couldn't agree with you more on everything you've said so far.
Thank you. I just wanted to set up a softball for you so you could hit it out of the park, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, that summarized everything I was going to say, so goodbye.
Okay.
No, seriously.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit. Let's get your background, because you've got a pretty diverse background. How did you get started
exactly.
in marketing and talk about the kind of things that you've done?
Exactly. First of all, I started out my career in sales. Well, I had some other admin, you know, kind of positions.
Mm-hmm.
But I really got into sales like, you know, almost a couple years out of high school. You know, I started in a sales assisting kind of position, and I figured, well, heck, I can do that. And so I got into sales, and I was in sales for several years, like almost a decade, in the hospitality and trade show industries. And they're
mm-hmm.
kind of related because they both deal with space and events and all those good things. And through that career, actually, I got into writing. I worked with a company, and they had some sales letters that they were using for a long time that, you know, weren't really working. And so, you know, there's a lot of up and down time in the trade show industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had some time to revamp those letters into something that was creative and fun to read and would get attention. So I got a reputation for, you know, being able to write that kind of stuff. Which led to a career for the events industry and trade shows in writing, you know, press releases and brochures, and, you know, marketing copy and all that kind of stuff. So that was great. And then I went into teaching. I taught for, you know, like computer training kind of classes and also, you know, basic business kind of things. But I also taught business writing and business English. And so I didn't really start out as a writer. I just kind of fell into it. And then after that, I got into a position where I was a regional ad rep, but also the editor for a trade newspaper. And I was there for probably between 15 and 16 years. So I got a lot of writing experience under my feet, so to speak. And it was great, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I didn't start out my career like a lot of writers do, where they get into journalism or
mm-hmm.
creative writing or anything like that. And all of the writing I've done has really been commercially focused. It really isn't, you know, I can't write poetry. I can't write fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be just something I couldn't even imagine doing. So it always has a commercial focus to it. And then after that career ended, the company closed after you know, the owners had passed and whatnot. And then I said, well, you know, I've got all this experience with me here. And, you know, how am I going to leverage that into a coaching consulting role? I did some blogging for a group in the events industry for about a year. And that was great. But I said, you know, I really want to help other people write, and I want to do also my own writing. You know, I don't just want to do
mm-hmm.
it for someone else, and I want to help other people do this as well. And so I kind of resisted. I got to be honest. You know, you were talking earlier about, you know, some of the coaches that into it and you don't really know what their experience is, and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of sketchy
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And I really resisted going into the coaching arena because I know there were a lot of people with that reputation. I didn't want to be seen as an imposter.
Right.
And, you know, even though I certainly am bringing a lot of, you know, experience in what I do to the table, I always had that kind of stigma around that. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But here's
mm-hmm.
the interesting part. My coach just told me that, yeah, you know, you have all this. You need to start leveraging that into a coaching career, you know. So I have a coach, you know, that helped me get into coaching. And I think that's kind of a new arena that I see developing is coach the coaches. because
right.
that's exactly what I do. And in fact, that's my key market is coaches and consultants, because I am that way myself. And I think they bring a lot to the table, and a lot of them have difficulty packaging all the knowledge that they have, and that's
right.
what I really
right.
help them do.
See, and that's awesome, and it's a very targeted thing that you're comfortable with. And I it's so funny because I'm on the same plane with you as my
mm-hmm.
coach basically, you know, said the same thing to me. It's like, you have all of this experience, and you have all of this knowledge. And there's a quote that I got this weekend, and it just really stuck with me, is that people want to know what you know, not what you do. And
right.
you know, that's the thing, and it's the experience that you have writing and publishing 7 books that a lot of
mm-hmm.
coaches want to get into that arena, but really don't know all of the, you know, the things that you have
the
to go through, the trials and tribulations, the pitfalls. I mean, we've all
right.
seen, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, this may be the best opportunity for you, but we've all seen these compilation books where you're going
right.
to pay, you know, $1,500 up to, I've seen people pay upwards of $6,000 to $8,000 to write a chapter
yep.
in a compilation book, and you get
yep.
nothing out of it. You don't get any
right.
money. All you get is
right,
to say,
sure.
I wrote a book. but you didn't really write a book. You wrote a chapter, and, you know, it's got somebody
right.
else's name on it, and it's
right.
really not, you know, that's not the thing that's going to get you what you need. And one of my good friends, Joel Kamm, who's like, he's a superstar in the industry.
Yep.
You know, we were just talking this week, and he said, basically, he says, you know, your book is one of the best 300-page business cards I've ever seen.
True. True. And it's funny, too.
But that's the point. So why don't you talk a little bit about, let's get into the whole book thing, because that's your specialty. And even
sure.
people that are, you know, even if you're not a consultant, just a person, maybe you want to write a,
right.
you know, a cookbook or, you know, a
right.
children's book or any kind of book. I mean, if you have a passion to write a book, the principles are all the same, right? It's just the
right.
content and the market's different. So why don't we kind of
exactly.
jump into that?
Right, exactly. And you really do have to have a passion for what you're writing about. You know, and I get people who aren't writing about something they really know about. And you can,
mm-hmm.
you can tell right away. You know, it's just not, it's not them. It's not their voice. And I really tell people, you know, it is a business card. And, you know, you got that right. You know, you want it to, and especially on the business side, because that's where I work with primarily, you want to give them a taste of what it's like to work with you, but you don't want to give it all away either. You know?
Right.
You really just want to use it as an intro to who you are. Who you are, and because I think people buy, not, you know, they want to know, you know, what you do and all of that, but they really want to know who you are. And through a book, you can really, really express who you are. And
right.
going back, I was just working on a writer's workshop with some people who were in a variety of different writing modes. You know, some of them were doing fiction, some were doing kind of like spiritual, inspirational. And, you know, they really had to get connected with their material, you know,
mm-hmm.
and feel that way. But then once they get all that done, then it's just, oh my goodness, you know, now what do I do with this? How do I get this
right.
out into the world? And that's where I really, really come in, is, you know, how do you get that out into the world? Not only having a writing background, but also having the marketing and publishing background with that as well. And that's where I really put all those pieces together for them. Because what a lot of writers don't realize is, once you start writing a book, you start being in business. I know that sounds
right.
awful. They don't really want to go down that road, but really, you know, in the writers' communities that I'm in, you know, that's a constant theme. When you start writing a book, you start wanting to write commercially, you are in business, and I think that scares a lot of people. And it is because there's a lot of things you need to be aware of when you're publishing, you know, from a legal aspect, from a marketing aspect, from accounting. You know, sometimes you might be getting involved in sales taxes, you know, if you're doing
right.
some selling on your own, and you know all those things. You know, so that's where I really come in, is, you know, like trying to put some of those pieces together for them, and you really have to be serious about it, you know. I think with self-publishing these days being so easy to do relatively, it's really easy to just look over all of those aspects of it. And so that's what I really try and do, is just, you know, okay, well, let's sit down. What do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to reach? You know, all of those kinds of things. We go through five basic questions of, you know, what's, you know, what is your market? Who are you trying to reach? And then, you know, just going through all of the motions of it. So it's quite a process. And I think that's one of the most fun things to watch, is just to watch people get it, you know, after they,
right.
they've had all this confusion about it, and then they get some sort of plan together, and then it all comes together. And
right.
and it's just exciting to see that all come together into a final product. And you know, it always makes me smile.
That's awesome. And one of the things that I've seen a lot, and I've had this happen, is, you know, and I'm sure you've seen it too, is I've written a book, the book's out there, then I get authors coming to me saying, hey, you know, how did you get all those great reviews? How did you, you know,
right.
I need help selling my book. And I,
right.
the immediate question is, I ask them, is how long has your book been out? Oh, it's been out for 6 months. And it's like, and how many sales have you had? 10. And,
right. and that's possible. I mean, you know, and it kind of depends on your markets too. If you're serving a really
right.
super niche, you know,
I mean,
that might be a stellar result. So.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think one of the pitfalls that most people don't realize is that as you're writing the book, you got to start promoting it way before the book launches, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, you really do. You have to start talking it up, you know,
right.
even when you're thinking about it. And I have a lot of people that are in that thinking about it stage, and then they start talking about it, and they're like, well, I don't know if I should say anything about it, because they're afraid. Well, they're afraid to say anything about it because they're afraid they're not going to get it done. And then they're going to be disappointing their audiences, and they're going to feel stupid or whatnot. They're not going to feel like they are in a good place. So, yeah, I think the pre-promotion is good. But I think more than that, I think people need to integrate it into their entire marketing program. Because what
right.
happens is, you know, sometimes they get really excited about the launch, and, you know, they'll do some initial book signings, or, you know, they have it at events, and then all of a sudden it sits on a shelf and does nothing. You know, you kind of have to integrate it into all of your other programs that you do, so that it just doesn't become a dust collector. And in fact, it's really, really strange. The book I wrote 4 years ago, I mean, I still get sales on it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see which ones actually, because I have a number of them, which ones actually resonate. And the first one I did, and then another one that was kind of an offshoot of that one. Those two are my top-selling books, and, you know, that's great. And it's a continuing income, too, which is great. No, it's not going to pay your retirement, probably. But
right.
Well, depending on who you are, I mean, you know, there are some that can go that route. But typically, I really try and encourage people not to be thinking in that bestseller mode, where they're thinking, oh, I just need to get on the New York Times list or some other book list. I really encourage them to think about something that's best for the seller and best for the seller's business. You know, what
right.
is it going to do for you? How are you going to use that when working with your customers? Because actually that's how I started even getting the book together. Was I had a blog on promotions, and I thought, wow, you know, these people have all these questions about buying this stuff, and, you know, why this, why that. I thought, great, I'll start a blog with that. Well, unfortunately, my audience is not a group of blog readers. You know, I can barely get them to open my emails. You know, so what I did was I pulled all of those tips and tricks into a book that I could hand to them, and so that they would have a point of reference when they were working with me. So, again, how are you going to use it? Who is your audience? You know, why does this make sense for you?
Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's thinking about a book in a slightly different way. Everybody wants to be J.K. Rowling.
Or
Zig Ziglar or Brian Tracy or Seth Godin or whoever it is, you know, that are selling millions of books and getting, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to speak on the topic that they're an expert in. But a lot of times it can be as powerful, if not more powerful, if you do exactly what you say. You focus on your audience and almost use it like an instruction manual on how they can better utilize your services. That actually services the people that you work with directly. And that can be a huge bonus in your business. You can also use it as a tool to show your expertise in trying to find a job. I mean, and a book does not have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be War and Peace. I've seen people write 24-page books, you know, right?
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of people go with the, you know, the Kindle e-book kind of thing. You know, it's a short little book on maybe a very focused topic or a subtopic. That's fine, too. But I really encourage people to do both. You know, the ebook and print book, because when you're meeting with someone, you know, a potential client, it's really nice to just hand them, I'd like you to read my book here, you know. They're probably not going to do the ebook thing. So I encourage people to do both, because that physical thing increases, you know, anything in marketing, the more senses you can engage, the better. So a physical book has that, you know, that touch. You got vision, you know, all those things going on that really, really can help you with your marketing. So I encourage people to do it as a marketing tool.
Yeah, I agree with you 110% on that. As a matter of fact, just the marketing advice I give my clients is you're not going to reach everybody with one medium. Not everybody, you said it spot on. Not everybody's going to read a blog. Not everybody's going to listen to a podcast. Not everybody's going to open an email. And having something physical like that actually, you know, first and foremost, people look at it and go, ooh, you know, ebooks don't, in at least in my estimation, don't have as big of an impact on people because they're sitting behind usually what's a blank screen and people have to actively get to it. When they have a book in front of them, they're looking at the cover and they're thinking of you. So that's why my friend Joel calls it a 300-page business card. Because
it does exactly that.
It's just like having a business card when you come home from conferences. You pull them all out, and then you're trying to connect with those people and send emails. Well, that's exactly the same thing, but it's like it's way cooler.
It doesn't even have to be 300 pages. You know, I mean, a lot of books, I think that really kind of that sweet spot that really works in a book that is more or less a marketing-driven kind of book, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 100, you know, 125 pages is perfect. You know, it's short enough for them to get through to make a decision on working with you, but it's not so long that, you know, they'll just put it away and then not look at it again. So
Yeah. I mean, if you're writing a 100-page book, that's much easier to, you know, for people to read, but you know, there are times where a 300-page book or more or associated workbook is going to be necessary because of you know, the amount of information. It depends on your audience, depends on your goals.
Again,
and all those kind of things.
Why are you doing this? Who is your audience? What are you know, we go through those same questions over and over and over again, and it truly does. You know, and it's the same questions I'd ask of any marketing client of mine. You know, they're the exact same questions, whether it's a book client or a marketing client. You know, it's the exact same thing over and over again. Who do you want to reach? Why? You know, all the same stuff.
That's just marketing questions 101. It's like, you know, what do you want to do?
What are you trying to accomplish?
Right, but most people don't start there, you know, and it's amazing, you know. What do you want to do? So, let's dig down. We got a couple of minutes left. What are some of your best advice about writing books? Where do people get started? What do they need to think about? I know it's a big subject, so, you know, in 3 minutes or less, what are the key things that people need to think about?
Well, again, besides the major marketing questions, they need to be thinking about what do they already have within their business. Now, some people already have a blog that they're writing, and mm-hmm. that is a really good thing to be a basis for a book. Now, I don't encourage them to just grab their blog posts and then dump them in a book, you know, because it
right.
doesn't. It would have no rhyme or reason.
Something gets lost in translation.
Right. Oh, very definitely. Very definitely. And a lot of blog posts don't translate well into the print or book arena. And so we really want to use that maybe, you know, if they do have kernels of information, because I looked at a lot of the tips I had already posted online, and I just drew those out and then repackaged them into a book. So look mm-hmm. at some of the resources that you already have in your business. Another resource that a lot of people overlook, and a lot of them already have it on their website, are frequently asked questions. You know, mm-hmm. look at those questions that you always get from customers, because that's the kind of stuff people want to know. So mm-hmm. that's a really good place to start with your book. I think those are the two main ones that I really encourage people to look at. And then, mm-hmm. you know, once they figure out their purpose, you know, maybe it is a workbook. You know, I have a couple of different kinds of books. A lot of them are mainly think kind of books. You know, here's some ideas, tips, tricks, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But then I have another book that is just a lot of asking questions. You know, how is it looking right now? And then it's sort of a workbook thing, and then they can write their answers to it. And I think those are really good, too, because it gets people thinking. So, you know, again, it really depends on what you are trying to accomplish. And definitely, again, the print book, I always encourage people to do both. So, you know, don't be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And these days, it is so cheap to do so. I mean, on some of the platforms, I use Amazon CreateSpace mm-hmm. platform. I mean, technically, you know, if you do a lot of the stuff yourself, you can publish for free. You can publish it for free, and then you buy the print copies at a pretty reasonable cost. So
right.
I think they're one of the best, better ones out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I encourage people to do both, because it's just so much more. And I think it's so much more exciting for authors, too, you know, when they can go to an event and they can say, oh, well, and if, you know, you'd be interested in my book, you know, it's a visual aid to use. So I encourage people to do both of those. And I also encourage people to look at it from a business perspective. One, you know, you are going to be in business once you start writing a book. And number mm-hmm. two, how does it integrate into your current business? So I think I think those are my main tips for book and book coaching.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give one last tip, and then I'm going to get your contact info. And that is
sure.
do not skimp on the cover, whether it's on Amazon as an ebook or whether it's in physical presence. One of the rules I've heard is called the 14-foot rule. And if somebody's standing back 14 feet and can't read the main, it's got to be the main concept of your book within that 14 feet, then it's not going to have shelf life. It's not going to have any kind of life. So, you know, invest in that. Find a really good artist to do it. You can go on Fiverr, but that's not always the best way.
No.
So, Heidi, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, first of all, I'd encourage them to go to my website, which is HeidiThorne.com. And there's connections there for, you know, the books and the coaching and my blog and all of those things. So that's the hub of where everything starts. So, again, it's HeidiThorne.com.
Awesome. And it's HeidiThorne.com, correct?
You got it. That is correct.
Awesome. Hey, Heidi. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think there's a ton of information. I know everybody's going to like it. So you have an awesome day, and we will talk very, very soon. So thanks again for joining
us. Oh, I know we will probably at our next meetup.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So, all right, Heidi. Have a great day.
See
thanks
then.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.